Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the way we praise you. Praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the way we praise you. God says he's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I tell you, are you praising God today? Are you praising him from your heart? Are you praising him from a pure heart? Do you have a heart inclined to praise the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. God truly is good and worthy to be praised. I love him. I love him. I love him. With everything in me, I love the Lord. I tell you, he has brought me a mighty long way, and the Lord is blessing me right now. The Lord is good and worthy to be praised. God is good and worthy to be praised. I tell you, there's no one like him. There's nobody greater than Jehovah. There's nobody greater than our Lord. There's nobody greater than our God. And I just thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the blood of Jesus, which was shed on Calvary to save me from my sins, to baptize me with fire. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just thank God for Jesus on today. And I thank God for you on today. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And I want to welcome you all to the Woman to Woman show. I want to welcome Revival Fire, who is in the chat room. Hallelujah. And also Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. My God, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And still more are on the way. But we're going to go forward knowing that God is going to have his way in this broadcast. And just to make sure, I just want to go ahead and pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed, for the remission of our sins. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the fact that Jesus still yet makes intercession for us at your right hand. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for new life. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that we have been renewed, oh God, by the blood and by your word, oh God. We thank you that we've been washed in your word, oh God, and we're no longer old, but we are new creations. Hallelujah. Blood bought. Hallelujah. Spirit filled beings here on this earth, spirit beings here on this earth. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And we just magnify your name. We just ask that you would get the glory through this time that we are here on Blog Talk Radio, even talking about relationships. Lord, have your way. Bless every listener. Bless every person who comes live and every person who listens to the archives. Bless every caller, oh God. Lord, bless our relationships. Bless our marriages, oh God. Everything, Father God, pertaining to us and everything pertaining to us giving you the glory in our lives. We just ask that you would get the glory in our relationships, in our love lives, oh God, in our marriages, even in our relationships with each other, oh God. We just ask that you would get the glory. And we give this broadcast to you, oh God. I consecrate this time to you and say, Lord, as we are real with each other, as we fellowship with each other, as we share with each other about love and about life and about relationships, we just ask that you will get the glory. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Again, praise God from whom all blessings flow. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and we have a hot topic on today. We have a hot topic on today. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships. We're going to talk about how do you know if he's the one, woman of God? How do you know if your relationship is over? What if he refuses to propose? How about this? You're married now and all heck is breaking loose in your home. What do you do? What if you love him and he is not saved? What if he proposes and you don't feel like he is the husband for you? My. I tell you, I'm excited about talking about some of these topics and more because we are, you know, as women of God, sometimes we get into our relationships, we're in a relationship or we're in a marriage, and we find ourselves in a tough situation. You know, we find ourselves in a bit of a predicament, and we don't know who to talk to about it. Well, today we're going to have an open forum where we can talk about these issues, we can talk about these topics, we can talk about our relationships. You know, sometimes we end up in a relationship with the wrong one, and he's just not the one, but sometimes we settle for less. Sometimes we just settle, amen. We settle for a man who's not saved, or we settle for a man who's abusive, or we settle for a man who can't really give us what we desire in our hearts. You know, it's amazing because God says, as we delight ourselves in him, he said that he would give us the desires of our hearts. And so often we find ourselves in relationships that are not the desire of our hearts. You know, we know we need to be loved. We know we need to be cherished. We know we need to be paid attention to. And we find ourselves in a compromising relationship with a man who doesn't love us. He doesn't cherish us, nor does he pay attention, you know, and we're begging for attention. And God has not created you, woman of God, for you to settle for less in your relationships. God has created you to be happy in your relationships. You know, God has created for you to be joyful, because happiness is fleeting, but joy is everlasting. And God has created us to have that fulfillment, even in our relationships. So we're going to be talking about that today. I want you to spread the word. I also want you to prepare to call it. Call in and give your take on some of the mistakes that you've made and some of the answers that you have tripped up upon, that you have found by going in the wrong direction with your own relationship. I'll be sharing, and boy, do I have a lot to share. I'll be sharing about my relationships and even my marriage, and I'll be sharing some tips on as we go through this broadcast today on each and every one of these issues on how we can have some solutions. Now, I'm not going to share a lot of scripture. I don't come with my Bible. I just came to talk. Is that all right? You know, I have the word in me, but I just came to talk because we got to keep it real. Sometimes we just got to sit down, take off our heels, you know, put our feet up, you know, roll up our sleeves and dig in and deal with some of these issues that we're finding in our relationships. It's amazing that abuse is the hottest topic on any radio show, abuse and battery is the hottest topic on the radio today. And that's a shame, because we are women of God. You are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. You are a queen. You are a queen, and you deserve to be treated like a queen. So we're going to talk about this. I'm going to make a couple of announcements, and then we're going to go right into the topic. On this Friday, this upcoming Friday, January the 27th, I will be doing the opening prayer at a virtual graduation with Minister Valerie Allen. And it's the first graduation from the first class for steps to using your God-given talents and abilities. And it's at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have a pen, you can write this number down, or you can come back and listen to the archive. And you can attend from your own home by phone by calling into 605-477-2100. That's 605-477-2100, and the access code is 161-422-POUND. Listen, the keynote speaker is going to be Minister Russell Blake. My God. He's the author of The Virtuous Woman, the Proverbs 31, the Black Proverbs 31 Woman. I mean, this man was on my radio show. He is powerful. And he's going to be the keynote speaker on Friday night, on January the 27th. This upcoming Friday, you want to be there. If you want to be blessed, this man of God is going to bring forth a powerful speech. I just know it. because I love him. I love him, and I will be doing the opening prayer. And then on Saturday, can you say TV? On Saturday, I'll be doing a live taping. I will be the guest for a live taping for the Rope of Hope TV show. The Rope of Hope TV show with Lady Diana Flagg, who is the founder and the CEO of the WEBC Book Club, the Women's Empowerment Book Club. I was her first book. We will be talking about Nobody's Business, which is my first book, and which was the first book that the WEBC worked on. That was the first book that they read. It was the groundbreaking book. And listen, we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff on that taping. So if you're in the New Jersey area, you can come out to Power of Praise and Worship Ministries at 1420. That's 1420 Southwood Avenue. And that's in Linden, New Jersey. So that's Power of Praise and Worship Ministry at 1420 Southwood Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. There's going to be a live taping. I'm going to be the guest. And also there's going to be a praise dance team, Charette Ministries, with Sister Chanel DeFosse and Cornetta Cicerone. It's going to be powerful. And this is going to air on Cablevision on Channel 19. So you want to be a part of that. It's going to be powerful. That's a live broadcast. And if the final announcement is on next Saturday. Next Saturday, I'm going to have a special guest, Cindy Williams Newsom. And she is the author of The Vain Girls. So she's going to be my guest also on Saturday the 28th. Cindy Williams Newsom. She's the author of The Vain Girls. And it's a powerful book. I'm going to be interviewing her. We're going to be talking some more about relationships and how relationships go wrong and how relationships can be made right on next Saturday, the 28th. So we have a full calendar. Listen, keep listening to the Woman to Woman show. We're taking off this year. We're going to have a phenomenal year. And I invite you, if you want to be a guest on the Woman to Woman show, you can send me a message right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you go to my page, you can send me a message, or you can hit me up on Facebook. You can send me a tweet on Twitter, or you can go to my website, send me a contact, or you can send me an email at powerinthewordone@yahoo.com. I would love to have you be a guest here on the Woman to Woman show. And I invite you to also be our guest at New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we invite you to come out. Our worship time is 11 o'clock a.m. My husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, will be bringing forth a powerful, can you say powerful? He will be bringing forth a powerful word on tomorrow. We have a powerful time in worship, and we invite you just to visit. Just come on out and visit. Amen. Anytime. Amen. So let's get into today's topic. And I did give you the address for the church. I believe I did give you the address. It's New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. That's where my husband and I are privileged by the Lord to pastor. Amen. So we invite you to come out any given Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and any given Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And then we have a prayer line on Tuesdays, every single Tuesday, and you can be a part of that as well. If you need information on that, you can hit me up, and I will give you the information. Now, let's get into today's topics. Listen, stay for the ride. If you can, stay for the whole broadcast, because we're going to be solving some relationship issues. Again, I welcome you to call in and be a part of today's topic, which is dealing with relationship issues. The first thing that question I put on the board is, how do you know if he's the one? You know, so often we're in relationships, and sometimes we wonder if he's the right one, or if he's the one that I should even go into relationship with. You know, as Christian women, we have to be very I guess the word is selective in who we go out with and who we allow ourselves to enter into relationship with. Now, I'm going to say this. Dating is not for the Christian woman just for the sake of dating. You know, let me say that again. Dating just for the sake of dating is not for the Christian woman. Women of God, let me say this to you. You should never enter into a relationship with a man that you would not marry. He at least, before you enter into that relationship, at least have to exhibit some of the criteria that you have for your husband. Now, when I say criteria, I'm not talking about the list. Well, I want him to be a BMW or that's a black man working. You know, I want him to have a white collar. I want him to be in the white collar industry. I want him to work on Wall Street. I want him to be making $80,000 a year. He has to be 6'2" tall. I need him to be bald, or I want him to have curly hair, or I need him to be you know, slim. I don't want him to have any extra pounds. You know, you start giving this a list. I want him to have a nice house. I want him to drive a nice car. You know, and these are the things that we say when we start talking about what type of man we want to be with, and what type of man we want to marry our husband to be. And it's okay to have standards. But when we start giving God our shopping list, we run into some problems because there's no perfect man out there. Let me just say it again. There is no perfect man out there. And, you know, there are a lot of single men that are saved. I noticed that if you look around your church, you will see some single men probably in your church, unless you have a, you know, a smaller ministry. But what I find is that the men who are single in the church and the women who are single in the church normally don't find themselves getting together. You know, normally you find the single men in the church going outside of the church finding wives. And I don't understand this. You know, I don't understand why there's so many women in the church who are single, and then there are yet still single men in the church. You know, it's like I believe that we're being almost too selective when it comes to the man that we're going to marry. I believe that we're turning down opportunities, let's use that word. I believe that we're turning down opportunities as women. I believe that a lot of women are turning down opportunities to go out with really nice men because of the way that these men look, because this man is not fitting the description that they have. So they're turning up the opportunity to get to know a really nice man. You know, for instance, when I met my husband and I looked at him, he was not my type. He was not the type of man that I would think that I would marry. You know, he was tall and he was dark, but he was square. You know, I was a wild child, and he was just like this nice, nice guy. And I wasn't saved yet, but I looked him up and down, and I was like, no, I would chew him up and spit him out. This man will not stand a chance with me. And I was serious, you know. I was like, this man will not stand a chance. He won't even make it. He won't even make it a month with me. And somebody literally told me that. They said, this man won't make it 6 months with you. But what they didn't know was that I had gotten saved for real in the meantime, because my husband and I did not start dating. We did not start dating. We became friends. And that's something that I will offer to you. Instead of, you know, saying, I want to date this guy, I want to date that guy, and then end up with your emotions all wrapped up in the wrong person, why not, you know, become friends first, you know, and say, you know, this is a nice person. This brother is a nice person. Let me get to know him as a friend. And you get to know the person as a friend. And then God, if he's the right one, God will reveal to you that he is the right one. And he will reveal it to him also. Let me say that again, because I'm answering the first question. How do I know if he's the one? The way that you know that he's the one is that you are friends first, that you guys have a relationship that is a friendship. You have a relationship that's a friendship. You know each other. You've gotten to know each other. You like each other. You haven't slept together. You haven't slept together. You have not slept together. No, I'm not stuck in a groove. I'm not this. I'm just saying, you haven't slept together, because once you sleep with someone, then it's over. It's all over but the shouting. See, what we have to understand as women is that our emotions are tied into our sexuality. Our emotions are tied into our sexuality, and sexual intimacy is the deepest form of intimacy. So once you have sexual intimacy with someone, that person has a free ticket to possess your heart. That person has a free rein to go and grab your heart because you have slept with him. Amen. So it's just so important that we keep our underwear on. It's important that we keep our chastity. It's important that we keep our jewels to ourselves, amen, because once we give that away, we've pretty much lost the game if he's not the right one. I hope that's not being too real for some of you, but we have to keep this real. And people will start logging out. People, you know, I noticed somebody actually logged out when I started talking about that. But we have to keep it real. And Evangelist Cynthia Robinson in the chat room says that you get soul ties. You develop soul ties to that person. When you go the sexual intimacy route, you know, and so many times we think we could hook him. Come on. Some of you haven't been saved all your lives, and you know what I'm talking about. But as women, we think we can hook the man with sex. And we think that we can give him something that he's never had before, and we'll totally blow his mind, and he'll have to marry us. And if you're playing that game, then you're playing a losing game, because The man is looking for the woman who will say no. See, that man is really looking, the man of God, the man of God, your husband, is really looking for that woman who will say no. He's looking for the one who will say, you know what, I am celibate, I'm holding myself, I'm holding on to my sexuality, until I get married. Now, you're not holding that over his head to say to him, listen, if you marry me, then you can have the cookies. You're saying to him, whoever my husband is, he will be in the same boat that I am. He'll be willing to wait until we are officially wed. He'll be willing to wait for me. He won't push up on me over and over and over again after I told him no. And listen to me. I want to say this. Just because a man pushes up on you and he's a brother, he's a Christian, and I'm talking to Christians today, women, and if you're not a Christian, that's okay. Keep listening. because God has something for you to hear too. But just because a man tries to go to bed with you and he's a Christian does not mean that he's not your husband. Let me say it like this, because men are sexual beings, and even saved men are sexual beings. Saved men still have a sex drive. And if they can get you to go to bed with them, even sometimes the most saved brother, you know, that sex drive will sometimes propel him to try to take you to bed in a weak moment. A strong brother in a weak moment will try to take you to bed. And you have to be a strong woman in that weak moment. You have to be the one to say no. See, a wife is a helpmeet. See, the wife is sent to help the husband stay on course. See, your job as a helpmeet when you do get married is going to be to help your husband not to sin. You got to hear me on today. Your job as a wife, as a helpmeet, is going to be to help your husband not to sin, and it starts before you get married. See, when you say no to sex before you get married, you are already stepping into the role of a helpmeet, because you're helping that brother not to fall. But sometimes we want to evangelize. We want to evangelize. Sometimes women of God, we want to evangelize the brother. We want to take him to church, and then we turn around that same night and take him to bed. And we got to get out of that. That's a trap of the enemy. That's a sex trap. So you don't find out if he's the one by the fact that if he makes your toes curl or if he can make you feel good sexually. That's not how we do it. That is not God's way. How we find out if he's the one is by knowing him as a friend, getting to know him as a friend, being in a relationship with him in the friendship. And then after a while, God will reveal to you that is your husband and that you are his wife. And he will reveal to the man that you are his wife and he is your husband and he has found a good thing. Amen. Amen. I hope that made sense. Amen. That was kind of deep. How do I know if he's the one? And there's some more things that we can talk about. I want to go to the chat room. And again, the phone lines are open. If you're already on the phone line and you want to talk to me, you can just push 1. And I'll put you on the air. I want to go to the chat room. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson is in the chat room. And I welcome Aretha Clark and also guest 4370 to the chat room. God bless you. Excuse my voice on today. I preached up a storm last Sunday. I mean, I preached. Amen. Hallelujah. And I pushed my voice. So now I'm trying to wait for my voice to get back, amen, to where it needs to be before I have to get up and preach again, amen. But I preached the name of the sermon, hallelujah, is Look a Little Closer, amen, Look a Little Closer. And if you want a copy of that DVD or that CD, you can hit me up on Facebook and say, Pastor Rebecca, here's my address. Send me a copy of that DVD. Send me a copy of that CD, and I'll get it out to you in the mail. And it's no charge. If you want to send an offering, you can, but it's no charge. Amen. The word of God from this ministry is free. Amen. But you can always make an offering into the ministry. Now, back into the chat room, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said, that is true. If you both believe in the doctrine in the church, you should marry someone that believes the same. Amen. In other words, we don't have any business being unequally yoked. Listen to me, sister. My sister, if you marry a man that worships Buddha or worships Allah and you worship Jesus, you worship the one true God, you're going to have some trouble. Amen. The Bible says, what fellowship does darkness have with light? And so often we get to the point where we're tired of waiting. You know, women, I know the feeling. When you're tired of waiting, you've been waiting for that Boaz. You've been waiting for 10 years. And you've been believing God that your husband is going to find you, and yet everybody around you is getting married, but yet you're still single, yet you're still waiting. I want to say wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Amen. Wait for the vision. Believe for the vision. And though it tarry, it will not tarry. It will surely come to pass. Amen. If God has shown you yourself as a wife, you continue to see yourself as a wife. Visualize yourself walking down that aisle. See yourself in that white dress. See your husband standing there with tears coming down his face, tears in his eyes, amen, as his wife comes down the aisle, amen, with a smile on his face, about to fall out because you're so beautiful and he's so excited, amen, that you're getting ready to marry him, amen. See yourself as a bride. You are a wife, amen. If God has shown you that. Now, some women say, well, I don't want to be married. You know, some women have the gift of celibacy. But if God has shown you yourself getting married, then see yourself as that wife. Amen? So, and why not marry a brother? Amen. Why not marry somebody in the church? Amen. Why not marry somebody who has the same beliefs? Because, listen, a man who does not believe in your God, and he believes in something else, if you believe in Jesus and he believes in Allah, eventually, especially if he's Muslim, that man will tell you to throw your Bible away. You know, that man will tell you that your book is no good, that his book is the book, the real true book, that Jesus was just a prophet, was just a man. That's what he'll tell you. That's a lie that the devil will have him tell you. And he will you become a follower of, he will demand that you become a follower of God, amen. So, hallelujah. I'm going to take a brief break. I'll be right back, amen.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Let your fire burn in this place, yeah. How many want the fresh fire of God to fall on your heart tonight?
about religion. And let me say this, there is no other way to get to the Father but through the Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, that's what you believe. And any other faith, they don't believe that. Even Jehovah Witnesses don't believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. They believe that God created Jesus. Amen. And we have to know who we are and what we believe. So how do you know if he's the one? Amen. You will know. Listen, God will show you. You don't have to guess. You don't have to compromise. If he puts his hands on you, if he wants to fight, if he calls you outside of your name, guess what? He's not the one. If you can't trust him, if he has another woman or two or three, if he's married and he tells you that he doesn't love his wife, but he loves you, he thinks you're a fool. That's what he thinks about you. And he's going to string you along as he can. Why do we find ourselves getting in relationships with married men? And we're Christians. Why do queens think that they have to compromise and go out with paupers? Amen. We have to know. You have to know as a woman of God that you are not second best. That when it comes to your husband, you are the best. When it comes to the man in your life, you're not number two. You're number one. And if you can't trust him, if he has phone numbers in his pocket, you know what? In this day and age, it's not even about the phone numbers in his pocket. It's about the women on Facebook. Let me just talk about it like that. Because a man who's a dog has doggish ways. A man who has doggish ways will find a way now on Facebook to be able to be unfaithful to you. So the first thing you got to do is you got to know that you can trust that man. If you can't trust him, then he's not the one. If you got to be, if you call his phone and he never answers, if you got to be on the down low, you're that secret love. Nobody can know you're in a relationship, but you're in a relationship. He sounds like a fool, and he's not the one. If he has to hide you, we're dating, we go to the same church, but we're going out together, but I don't want anybody to know just in case it doesn't work out. What? But he's trying to go to bed with you? Come on. There's something wrong with that picture. If he's going out with Sister So-and-so and you know he's dating her, but then he comes to you and slips you his phone number, come on. Why are we playing? You know, if he says the Lord said he should take you out, but he's taking out you, and then you go on his Facebook page and some woman is talking about how they had a good time last night. Come on. What I'm saying to you is that the signs are there. You know, there are a lot of single men out there, and let me tell you, there are a lot of men in the church who are coming to the church just to try to get a saved woman and to try to take her to a place that she doesn't need to go, which is his bed. And I'm just saying it like that. There are a lot of men out there who know who you are. They know you're saved. They know you love the Lord. They know you're a minister. They know you're a pastor. And the devil is using them to try to bring you down. So you have to know. You have to be discerning. You have to know, look, I'm not desperate. You got to know you're beautifully, you're beautiful, that you're wonderfully and fearfully made. You have to know that you're a gift to any man. You got to know your worth. You have to know your value. You have to know what real love is, and you have to refuse. You have to refuse to compromise. You have to refuse to settle for less. Amen? So, you know, I'm just talking from experience because I've been in some relationships with some men who didn't mean me any good. And you know what? I've heard some stories about men of the cloth, about men in church, pastors who are sleeping with women in the church, and telling them that they're going to be the next Mrs., they're going to be the next First Lady, but they don't want to do nothing but play with these women. And I refuse to let my sisters be played with like that. Listen to me. If he's a pastor, I'm talking to women of God, I'm talking to Christian women who go to church, and your pastor is single, or maybe if he's not, if he's a pastor and he wants to take you out, you know, he's shown, maybe the Lord is showing him something about you. Maybe the Lord is saying, he's saying the Lord's showed me that you might be my wife, and he wants to take you out to dinner. Okay, then we'll go to dinner, Pastor. Amen. But it stops right there. It's not like, okay, now we've had dinner. Oh, I'm so needy. I'm a man of God, but people don't know that men of God have needs, and I just need a woman to love on me. I just need somebody to love me. And then you end up in his apartment or his house, and then you're in a position that you don't want to be in. And I don't know why I'm saying this. I just sense that there's a lot of that going on out there, that there are a lot of men out there across the board. Fivefold ministry gives apostles and pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers, amen, and brothers who are deacons, amen, brothers in the choir and Levites, amen, and they are misleading the women. So I just don't want you to be misled. The man of God who God has sent for you will honor and respect you. He won't take you to bed. Amen. And he won't have a whole bunch of other women on the street. You know, you won't have to compete with Sister So-and-so. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do you know if he's the one? That's the answer to that question. Again, I say we got a live phone line. You can always talk to me. And what if he refuses to propose? Let's talk about that. If you've been with him for 2 years and he won't propose, then you need to take a break. It does not take a man 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years to recognize that you're his wife. Come on. Jacob knew right away that Rebecca was his wife. I mean that Rachel, I'm sorry. Jacob knew right away that Rachel was his wife. He got Leah by being tricked by Laban, their father. But then he was willing to work 7 years, 7 more years for Rachel, because he had already worked 7 years for the first wife. A man, I just said something. A man who knows that you're his wife, a man that God has sent to be your husband, to find you, that man is willing to do the work that it takes to be your husband. He's willing to show himself faithful. He's willing to show himself to be a man of God. He's willing to court you. He's willing to take you out to dinner. He's willing to make that investment, amen, to show you that he truly does honor and treasure you. He's willing to put you first. He's willing to respect you. He's willing to do the work that it takes to gain your trust and to win your heart. And you won't have to be all worked up in a tizzy because he's tripping and another woman is on the scene. Listen, when I was before I got married, I was dating this guy. I wasn't saved. I was going out with this guy who was rich. I mean, he was so rich. He had so much money. And I was impressed with his money. We walked into a car lot. He bought the car, didn't ask how much, didn't try to haggle for the price, just bought the car. Brand new car off the lot. And I was impressed. Bought this luxurious home over in the Heights in Jersey City, beautiful townhouse. Money was no option. I mean, paid my college tuition, paid when I got my apartment, paid my first month's rent, paid my security deposit. I mean, the man was, I mean, just rolling in dough. But, he could not commit to me. He would not commit. When I asked him if he loved me, he said, I don't know. I've never been in love before. When I asked him, were we in a committed relationship, he told me, I will always have friends. I will always have female friends. I don't know if I could commit. And this is what he said to me. And I was in a relationship with this man, hear me now, for 2.5 years. And I thought I was in love with this man, you know. Even though I was not happy, even though I cried a lot, Even though on Friday and Saturday nights I was home alone waiting for the phone to call. But he would call me during the week, and I would get in my car from Bloomfield and drive to Jersey City just to be with him. Do you hear what I'm saying? That was not love. That was not a relationship. That was someone who just wanted what he wanted. Amen. And he was going to have it on his terms and not on the terms that I'm laying down for you on today. Listen, don't just give any man your body. Don't give any man your body like that. Don't give any man that much control over you where he won't commit to you, but you're still giving him everything that a wife would. I cleaned this man's house. I'm being naked and not ashamed, because I want you to hear me. I want you to know why I talk like I talk. I cleaned his house. I turned out to learn how to cook food for him because he was Nigerian, and I wanted to learn how to cook for him. So I even tried to cook for him. Amen. I ran into his other woman on his doorstep, and he literally wanted to have both of us stay in his house at the same time. You know, she looked at me and said, "Are you his sister?" I said, "No, I'm his girlfriend." And she said, "Oh," and she had an overnight bag, and I had an overnight bag. Come on, somebody. And I told him she couldn't stay there. He told me I was tripping, but I told him he had to take her to put her up in a hotel somewhere, because she said she was on a shoot. She was an actress, and she was on a shoot, and they were shooting around the corner, and she wanted to stay there. And I said, no, she's not staying here. I put down my foot that night, but I still stayed in relationship with this man for about 4 more months before God sent my husband. And that's what I'm saying to you, that even in the middle of that bad relationship with this man who was not my husband, he was going to marry me and take me to Africa, and I was going to be his first wife, and we were going to pick out his second wife together. Come on. And he said a man could have as many wives as he wanted. And that's the mentality of a lot of men today, that they could have as many women as they want. But that is not God's way. Amen. And God, even in the middle of me being in that relationship, God sent me a real man. God sent me my husband. See, this is what I'm saying to you, women of God. If he won't propose, go ahead and take a break. You know, kick him to the curb. Tell him, say, honey, I'm not here just to be your girlfriend. This is after you have moved from friendship to courtship. You know that God said, both of you claim that God said that that's your husband and you're his wife. And then you've been in a relationship for 2 years, and he still says, I'm not ready. Maybe God is not showing me that you're my wife. Now he starts to backpedal. Then that brother is confused. And in order for him to get some clarity, you need to put some distance between the two of you, amen, so that he can miss his water. You know, you never miss your water until your well runs dry, amen. So he needs to begin to miss you so that he can really know, look, I'm about to let a good thing get out of my hands, you know, out of my reach, amen. He has to know that you're a good thing, but until he can't know that you're a good thing until you know that you're a good thing, amen. So if he refuses to propose, it's time to put some distance between you. Amen. Prayerfully, by now, you're not shacking up. Prayerfully, by now, you're not sleeping together. But if you are shacking up and then you are sleeping together and you've been in a relationship for 5 years with a brother and he doesn't want to get married, or even 2 years, it's time for you to get your own place. Amen. It's time for you to separate. Amen. And I'm not telling you to break up with anybody. Let the Lord lead you. But this is just my advice. Okay. So, I'm taking calls. You can agree with me or you can disagree with me. I'm open. 646-652-4832. And I'm going to keep talking until you call me. Amen. 646-652-4832. This is Pastor Rebecca. Listen, the chat room is full. And also, the phone lines are full. Aretha Clark says, he should know that you're the one. And I say amen, Sister Aretha Clark. Amen. He should know, listen, you're not desperate. He's not your last chance. You're not a beggar standing on a street corner begging for somebody to love you. At least I hope not, because you're better than that. You don't need a man to validate you. Listen, if you're single and all of your friends are married, so what? You know, so what? That does not mean that you're not a good thing. That does not mean that you're not worthy. That does not mean that you're not beautiful. That does not mean that you're not a wife. It just means that your turn hasn't come yet. Come on, somebody. It just means that your due season has not arrived. Amen. So don't get impatient with the process. Amen. God might be working some things out in you, amen, to get you ready to be a wife. So if he refuses to propose, that's all right. You know, he's not the one. That goes right in line with the first topic. Maybe he's not the one. Maybe he's not the one. That does not invalidate you. Listen to me. If a relationship does not work out, it does not mean that you're not worthy to be a wife. It just means that you were in a relationship with the wrong one. And I'm telling you, God is just so good. He is just so good. And we have to know that what God has for you is for you. If God says he has a husband for you, you hold on in faith and you believe God. Be like Abraham, who did not stagger at the promises, but in due season, Abraham inherited the promises of God. Abraham was 75 years old when God came and told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. When Abraham didn't have any children, listen to what I'm saying, everything was all dried up. Everything was dried up with Abraham and his wife, Sarah. Amen. So what they did was they tried to fix it. They tried to, Sarah said, well, go ahead and take another wife and have a baby with her. And that's how Ishmael was born. But God came back and said, Ishmael's not the one. It's coming through Sarah's womb that the promise is coming. Isaac is going to come. The promise is coming through Sarah's womb. And that's what I'm saying to you, women of God. Don't settle for Ishmael. God has an Isaac on the horizon for you. Your husband might be right there in your sight, but you might be counting him out. And God is saying, don't overlook the obvious. Don't be oblivious to the obvious. Amen. And don't be so desperate, amen, that you go and settle for an Ishmael. Amen. Wait on the promise. Wait on your man of God. Your set man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we got to know that God is in the business of blessing us. He said, no good thing will I withhold from those who love me and have been called. Listen, God has a man for you. You don't have to be somebody's secret lover. But let me talk about that. If he's married, he's not your husband. If he's already married, he's not your husband. You know, if he's been married and he's divorced already, now we can talk. But if he's married and he wants to get a divorce to be with you, no. No, he's not the one. Unless he's been separated about 10 years and then he got saved recently and his wife has, you know, moved on and she's in another relationship and there's no hope for reconciliation. But if he's like, I'm married, me and my wife are going to break up and I'm going to marry you, no, because if he did it to her, guess what? He'll do the same thing to you. So I don't care what he says. He can say, you know, I'm married, but we sleep in separate rooms. I sleep in another room, and we've been like this for years. Or I sleep in the bathtub, or I sleep in the basement, and my wife sleeps in the bed, or I sleep on the couch. You know, and some women will fall for that. But I'm saying, don't believe the hype. Don't fall for the nonsense. Don't fall for the lies. You're better than that. You don't need a man to validate you. You don't need a man to validate you. God validates you. Amen. Hallelujah. Know who you are and refuse to settle for less. I don't care. You might not even be saved right now, and you might be listening to me. And I want to say to you, don't fall into the trap of feeling like you a half a man is better than none. What? A part of a man is better than no man. No, no, baby. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't have to share nothing, especially when it comes to a relationship. You don't have to share, man. This is not the day to share. This is not the time for you to say men are short. There's a shortage of men in the church. There's a shortage of saved men. If God could get a baby to Sarah in her old age, I believe she was 90 years old and Abraham was 100. If he could get a baby through Sarah's womb, you don't think he could get a husband to you? You don't think he could get your own man to you that you would have to share, man? I'm just saying it like that. I don't know how. Listen, y'all, don't get mad at me. Holy Ghost, don't let him get mad at me today because I'm just telling the truth. I don't know. Is it?
He was her guest.
Amen. Just telling the truth on today. We have a caller. I'm going to put this caller on the air. Amen. But don't believe the hype. And then we'll talk about some of the other episode issues, topics. What if you're married now and all heck is breaking loose in your home? And what if you love him and he is not saved? And what if he proposes and you don't feel like he is the husband for you? These are some of the questions that we're going to answer during this next second half of the show. Amen. So my husband's calling in. His hand is up, and we're going to put him on the air. Pastor Anthony, honey, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show.
Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be part of this show. It's such a hot topic today. So many relationships have gone through so much, and we are in an hour where God is allowing people to make a sound decision for him on a daily basis. I cannot tell you the countless amount of relationships you and I know about personally that people are regretting, dreading, wishing they could just blink it away. But because they did not heed to advice that you're giving your audience today, because some of them not just saw red flags, they didn't just get good counsel. Some of them, Holy Spirit, through the spirit of discernment, told them, he is not the one, she is not the one. But yet, as you just said, because sometimes we don't think too highly of ourselves, we go in both eyes open with both feet, and it may take a year, 5 years, 10 years later, now they're in a situation that only God could deal with if they turn to him at this point. And that's what you're trying to say. Be proactive. Women of God, think highly of yourself, because I tell you, when I was in the world, I played games, I deceived, I lied to get what I wanted. And that's simply what you're saying. We don't come into the church and lose all the stuff we gain from the world. We just fine-tune it to the things of God, but we don't get into the church and act like we become fools just because this flesh becomes on fire. So we gotta do something about this relationship. We was watching something last night, and the man of God, big church and all this stuff, he said he went through a divorce and simply said, if the leader falls, that's going to give my people a license to say divorce is okay. And he tried to save his marriage. He tried to do everything in his power. But you can be proactive. You can take preventative measures. You can use to get the knowledge, discernment, and wisdom and narrow down your chance of getting divorced or your chance of your relationship failing. Because with God, we can do all things. And Pastor Rebecca, you and I, 15 years later, our marriage is somewhere where it's never been before, but we had to grow to where we are. People don't realize, even if you find the ideal guy or ideal girl, there's no perfect person. They're coming with issues. They're coming with baggage. They're coming with a lot of luggage in the hour in which we're living. So if you find the one that God sends your way and is God ordained, you will survive and you'll have a fulfilling, successful relationship that will last until death do you part.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. And for everybody listening, those of you who don't know and you don't listen on a regular basis, that is my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. This is the man that I met in the bar. This is the man that the Lord sent to me when I was in the middle of that relationship and the relationship that was going nowhere. He literally sent me a man of God. Now, Pastor Anthony was newly saved when he came into the bar that night. He was newly saved, and I wasn't saved at all. But I love Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I like the King James Version, too. That was NIV, where he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to bring you to an expected end. Listen, you got to hear me on today. God already has a plan for my life. He had a plan for my life, and he knew the plan that he had. He knew the thoughts that he was thinking towards me for my life, that he was going to have me marry this man of God, and that we were going to be in ministry together, and that we were going to be bringing glory to his name. Even while I was yet in that relationship, even while I was yet, while I was yet in my sin, while I was yet hanging out in bars and clubs almost every day of the week, God knew that he had a better plan for me. And that's all I'm saying today, is that God has a better plan for you. And when God has a plan for your life, can't nobody stop the plan of God for your life. God's promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is, when we line up with the will of God, my God, when we line up with God's plan, my God, and that's all his will is. His will, the will of God is God's plan for your life. And when you line up with the will of God for your life, when you line up with his plan for your life, then you can walk into the manifestation of everything good that God has for you. And that includes your relationships. That includes your marriage. That includes your healing. That includes your money. That includes your prosperity. My God, God in 3 John 2, he said, Beloved, I pray that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. It says that God delights in the prosperity of his people. When you think about prosperity, that is the well-being. That means that everything pertaining to you will go good. Even your relationships, your marriage, my God, your money, your ministry, your health, everything. That is God's plan for your life, that you have total prosperity in your life, and it includes your relationship. And what I'm saying to you is, you don't have to be in a bad relationship. You do not have to be in a bad marriage. Listen, I'm not telling anybody to leave their marriage, because I believe God can turn a bad marriage around and make it good. He's Jehovah Shandor, the Lord of the turnaround. My God, God can turn that thing around. He can turn it around. God can turn around a marriage that you entered into that was not under his, according to his word. God can turn it around. Now listen, you don't want to get married and be unequally yoked, or you don't want to go do something contrary to the word of God and then say, God, fix it, because you're asking for a whole bunch of heartbreak. You're asking for a whole bunch of trouble. But when you say, I've already messed up, when you've already messed up and you did it in ignorance, you did not know the Lord like you know him now, and you've already messed up, then go ahead and repent. And give that marriage to God, and God can fix it, amen. God can turn that thing around. And I thank God that he is the Lord of the turnaround, amen. So this man, we met in the bar, and God just has put us together. We both had issues. He wasn't perfect, nor was I, not by a long shot. We were both newly saved, and God allowed us to help each other, amen, to get to this place. where we are today, where we are joyfully married, as that's my new term, where we're not happily married, because sometimes I'm not happy with him, and he's not happy with me. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we're joyfully married, and the Lord is, he's blessing our marriage, amen, because we put him first. And that's the answer that I want to give to if you're married and all heck is breaking loose in your marriage, you're having problems in your marriage, put God first. Put God first. Listen, if your husband's acting funny, for the women out there and for the men out there, if your wife is acting like a fool, put God first. Put God back on the throne. Don't worship your husband. Don't worship your wife. Don't worship that man of God. Woman of God, don't worship the man. Worship God. If you put God first and your relationship with God is tight and you're walking with the Lord like Enoch, come on, somebody, and you're walking with the Lord and you're seeking God's face like Esther, then God will honor your faith and God will bless your marriage. I'm telling you, if you put God first, God will manifest his plan for your life and for your marriage. Now, sometimes that marriage will end in divorce, unfortunately, because it takes two. And this is what I tell you. That's why we're talking about relationships. You want to make sure that you are in common ground. You want to make sure that both you and your husband are saved. You want to make sure that both you and your husband-to-be are seeking the Lord. So as a believer, you don't want to marry an unbeliever. Amen. So God bless you, Kiana Johnson, in the chat room. She said, amen, amen. God is awesome. And he's able, huh? I said God is able. Get in the Word. Pastor Anthony, I tell you, there's nothing like the Word of God that can turn a bad situation into a God situation. There's nothing like the Word of God that can turn a bad situation around. Listen, Romans 8:28 says, and we know, we are confident of the fact that in all things, God is working things out. He's working things together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Listen, God loves us and he has called us into his kingdom for such a time as this. My God. Get in your Word. When you got trouble in your home, get in the Word. Pastor Emily, I don't know if you could add anything to that, but I say if you have trouble in your home, get into the Word of God.
Amen. I would just like to go because this has been in my spirit. I don't know if you're going to do a marriage moment, but it's pertaining to what you just talked about.
Go ahead.
Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Watch that word, to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. And he goes on to tempt Jesus in three different areas, telling Jesus to prove who he was, and Jesus already knew who he was. But I just want to, Pastor Becky and our audience, talk very briefly that God will allow your marriage to be tested, but the devil is coming to tempt you in your marriage. There's a big difference between being tested and being tempted. God will allow tests to come to your marriage. And many marriages are ending in divorce, as you said, Pastor Becker, because I have 6 points coming from the book of Ephesians, talking about the whole armor of God, doing all you can do to stand until. They're going to be very quick. I'm going to go through them real fast, but you're going to see, as you just talked about, why we didn't get into that word. Jesus fought the devil with the word. And one, right before his great ministry began, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. Right before you get that breakthrough in your marriage, your marriage will be tested and temptation will come to you or your spouse. But the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, gird up your loins with truth. In your marriage, you got to be honest and truthful and transparent with each other. Be real with each other. Become real with one another. No facades, no walking on eggshells, no pretending, no putting on masks. If this person loves you and said, I do to you, they should want to hear the truth spoken in love. That's the only way you're going to grow in your marriage. So the Bible says, walk in truth, referring to the book of Ephesians, about the whole armor of God. Number two, become righteous and not right. Pride, being stubborn, it's my way or the highway. All of that mentality must go if you're going to have peace under your roof and a good, godly marriage. My wife, she says on these airways, tried to put me out many a days in those early marriage years. We had a blended family. We had some other challenges going on with our careers and with ministry. And those were some tough years, and we got through them. But during that time, we sat up under a good word. We went to marriage retreats, and we got into that word for ourselves. And we learned how to become righteous, meaning believe the word or believing in the word of God. Number three, the peace that only God can give you. The feet strive with the preparation of the peace of the gospel. We have to stop fussing and fighting and arguing with one another. But we got to know that we are dealing with so much in the world, we got to create peace under our roof. We deal with enough outside of our home to come home to a home that's unrest or a home of strife. So it is up to you, wife, it is up to you, husband, to create an atmosphere of peace. The Bible says, talk about that whole armor of God, the feet shod with the preparation of the peace of the gospel. Number four, the shield of faith, because the fiery darts are going to be aimed at your marriage. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Glory be to God. I feel God. The evidence of things not seen. And if you're hopeless in your marriage, go ahead and read Hebrews 11 and get that hope back. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see no change in him. He don't see no change in you. But I dare you to walk by faith and trust God. I dare you to ask God to help you with your unbelief until he turned that marriage around. I dare you to walk by faith and not by sight and watch what God do to an impossible situation. Number five, the helmet of salvation. I wish I could stay here, but I'm going to move fast. Guard your mind. You must guard your mind. Pastor Rebecca, my mother, when she was growing up, she watched a lot of soap operas. And many of them are going off our TV sets nowadays. As the World Turned, All My Children, General Hospital, they're all coming to an end. Now we got this reality mess on our television sets. But none of it honors marriage. So we got to watch what we watch. We got to watch who we're listening to. We got to watch what we're taking in spiritually. Because we need to guard our minds. Everything's going to start with a healthy mind. If you got a bad marriage with a sound mind, you can turn that thing around because God will send you answers. And number six, we got to believe the word of God. The Bible says the sword. We need to pick up our swords and start fighting this devil that's trying to destroy our homes, trying to destroy our futures, and trying to destroy our ministries. Pick up your sword, pick up your word, read your Bible, meditate on that word, and watch that word come to pass in your life. So fight with your sword, which is the word of God. And that's the whole armor we need to equip ourselves with daily if our marriages are going to stand the test and the tempter in this hour.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's powerful. I was taking notes. And in the chat room, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said, preach, Pastor, that is so true. The test that God sends is to make you stronger, and you can survive, but the temptation is to destroy your marriage and the both of you. And that is just so true that we have to cultivate peace in our homes and, you know, all of the steps that you've given us. And I pray that everybody got all six of them. If you didn't, you can always go back and listen to the archives after the show. But, Pastor Anthony, you talked about a lot of different things there. But one thing you talked about was walking in truth, not walking on eggshells. And then you talked about peace, having that peace in your home, and guarding your mind, and also having faith, believing in the word of God, and becoming righteous and not right. And I want to just stop right there on all of those, but when I heard you say become righteous, not right, that struck a chord with me. Because so often in our relationships as women, we want to be right. You know, and we don't spend a lot of time on the righteous part. See, the righteous part goes to the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love not being boastful and love not keeping an account of wrongs and love being gentle and kind. And sometimes when women are in relationships and when we're in our marriages, we focus more on being right than we do on being righteous. And the Bible says a wise woman will build her house up, will build up a home, but a foolish woman will tear it down with her own hands. And the thing about that particular, when I think about those particular texts, it reminds me of the fact that a wise woman will build up her husband with her mouth, but a foolish one will tear that man down with her mouth. And we as women of God have to watch our mouths, especially if we're dating and we're not in relation. We're not I'm saying dating towards marriage. I'm not just dating this guy and that guy, but this is my husband, and we're in the courtship, and we know we are getting married. We move from friendship to courtship. But in that relationship, we have to watch our mouths and purify our hearts. In other words, don't just say what you think is right, but get a right heart. The David prayed, created me a pure heart, Lord, with which to worship you. Some of us need God to purify our hearts because we got a whole bunch of mess in our hearts, and we just need to get that out. Sometimes we tear down our husbands because we got issues with our fathers. Sometimes we want to curse out our men in our lives because somebody cheated on us, somebody lied to you, somebody left you at the altar, somebody did something to you, and you're angry at that person, but now you're taking it out on every man that comes into your path. My hand is raised because I did it. You know, haven't been molested. You know, I had issues, and I took it out on my husband, and I took it out on every man that I was in relationship before my husband, because men were going to pay. But when we get to the point where we decide that we're going to be a wife, at that point, you have to let God, and even before you get to that point, you have to let God heal you. You have to touch the hem of his garment and let the Lord heal you of that hurt, of that pain from your past, of those daddy issues, you know, man problems, molested, abused, neglected. You got man problems. And you need to let God heal you, because if you don't, you're going to take it out on your husband, and that marriage may not be able to stand up under the pressure of your issues. So let God handle your issues. Let God deal with your issues, even if you're married already and you know you got issues. You know that that man did nothing but walk in the door, and you were mad when he walked in the house, and you're taking his anger out on him. You got issues, girlfriend. You got issues. And you need to let God deal with those issues. Let him take away that heart, that hard heart, that cold heart of stone. He told us in Ezekiel, I'll take away the old heart. I'll take away the stony heart, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll move you to obey my commandments. Which means that you're to be a helpmeet to your husband. You don't have to be right to be helpful. Amen. Pastor Emmy, I'm laughing. And listen, the phone lines are open. Come on. It's 35 more minutes for the broadcast. Call 646-652-4832. And for all of the callers already on the board, if you want to be on the line with us, just press 1. But Pastor, and for the chat room, God bless you for everybody in the chat room. You can also chat in, and I'll bring up your issues. But Pastor Emily, last night, you and I were, for the last 2 days, we've been putting together an elliptical machine. And when we first got started, it was kind of rough. You know, because I'm reading the directions, and I read that you have to put it together just right for the function properly without any squeaks or anything for it to be perfect. So my thing is to strive for perfection. So I'm reading the directions and you're doing the work and we're doing it, we're putting this thing together. And there was some friction at the beginning. You know, both of us wanted to be right. You remember that time we were getting ready to put on the thing for tension. That adjusts the tension, and we both wanted to be right, but then we got to a point where we both backed up and said, "Well, let's try it your way," and that was just so beautiful because that was a turning point in us putting together that elliptical where we were both willing to say, "Well, let's try it that way." I feel like I'm right, and I just have a strong sense that I'm right, but maybe I'm not right, and maybe. If we try it your way and it doesn't work, then we can come back and try it my way. I pray somebody's catching this, that it was better for us to get that thing together the right way than for us to be right. And that's what we allowed. So on the second night, so the first night was Thursday. So on the second night when we got to put it together, we were on one accord. We were grooving. And Pastor Emily, I didn't tell you this, but the Lord showed me. He said to me, tonight, you were a helpmeet. And tonight, he allowed you to help him. I was able to help be a helpmeet to help you, and you were submissive enough to allow me to help you. And that was how we were able to get that thing put together for perfection, so that now going forward, we got something that's working right. Amen, in the elliptical. And God showed me that, Pastor Anthony, as a shadow of our marriage, as an example, that as we work together on that elliptical, we can work together on our marriage. You all can work together on your marriage, not having to be right all the time, but being righteous and being submissive to each other. And the husband allowing the wife to help him, and the wife being the helpmeet that God called her to be. And at the end of the day, you got something that's working. You got a marriage that's working to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's so powerful what you just shared. We got a wonderful piece of gym equipment, and it wasn't an easy project, but two heads are better than one. As you were just talking, I thought about the Bible saying two are better than one. That's why we do these marriage moments in relationships, because marriage is a good thing. I don't care what the world's trying to stain it as or mock it as. Marriage is ordained by God. It has been created by God from Adam and Eve. It is a good thing. I don't care what they're trying to redefine, because for some reasons that you just outlined, we are better together than apart. You know, we can brainstorm. We got each other back. We can fight for each other. And it's so powerful that you said, because every married couple on this line know, you know, you're driving in the car. Sometimes you don't like the way your spouse drive, or they got the directions wrong and you got the directions right, or they got the directions right and you got the directions wrong. Thank God for GPSs. But remember those arguments over, you know, we wasting time because you turned the wrong way, and they're arguing. And that's what you're saying, Pastor Rebecca. We're arguing over something as simple as directions instead of trying to be righteous and get to our destination.
Ha.
We need to walk in love. That's what you said. Without righteousness, some people are still upset about something that happened so long ago. They're not walking in forgiveness or love, and you got to be righteous to be able to forgive your husband or your wife. And ladies, let me just help you. Sometimes us men, I think I put my foot in my mouth a couple of days ago. My daughter looked, my wife looked, and my wife dropped it right away. She said, "I'm gonna charge it to his head, not his heart." Because men, we just like that. You know, we want to watch the football game. Sometimes we speak before we think. And ladies, sometimes your husband gonna mess up. But as my wife just said, don't sit there and argue and want to just prove yourself right. Forgive him, move on, love each other, pop some popcorn, and act like it never happened. Because we need to create a peaceful atmosphere under our roof. And Pastor Rebecca, just too many people, I mean, I know some wives, I know some husbands, they mad over stuff that happened so long ago because they're not listening to what we're trying to say today. To be righteous sometimes, you just got to let go and let God. Honey, I forgive you. You know, I know you didn't mean it. Or can we move past that? And we have to get there in our marriages and our relationships, because if we don't, that's when we give place to the devil. And the Bible says don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a backdoor to come through. Don't even allow him entrance into your marriage. And sometimes we leave the door wide open for the devil. And once he gets in there, it's hard to evict that joker. But he has no rule, no reign in our churches and our marriages. But we need to walk righteously. We'll forgive each other, walk in love, create this peace that we're all looking for, and watch what God do in your marriage and in your future relationship.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So that is, you know, that's it on marriage. And the thing about it is, also, you have to realize that forgiveness is a big part of marriage. You know, it's a big part. And we're talking about marriage, and this is for the single women, too, that as you're listening, you know that when you get married, forgiveness is going to be a big part of that marriage. That's why you have to have your issues cleared up, because you don't want to go into marriage as a super sensitive sister. You don't want to go into marriage and everything he say throws you into a fit. You know, all of a sudden now it's war. You know, the war is on. You want to make sure that God has healed you. God wants us walking in wholeness. He does not want us waiting for a man to complete us. Let me just say it like this. Your husband does not have the ability to complete you. Your husband does not have the ability to make you happy. He adds to your joy. He adds to your happiness, but that joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord, and you're complete in Christ. So what our expectations are, and that's what I talked to the single women earlier, when your expectations are too high, you know, when you expect this knight in shining armor to come and sweep you off of your feet, pull you up on his white horse, and drive you off into the sunset, where you will live happily ever after, and there will never be any problems in your marriage, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Now you can expect to have a successfully joyful marriage where God is getting glory. And any situation that arises, through the word of God and the power of God, you will be able to overcome, and you will be able to move forward in victory, giving God the glory in that marriage. Yes, that is a possibility. It is definitely possible, because we know that that is God's desire for us. But at the same time, do not go in thinking that you're not going to have to work that thing out. You're going to have to work out your differences. You're going to have to work out the issues that he might have. See, I know you're all right, but your potential husband has some issues. And you're going to have to work that out without nagging him, you know, without tearing him down with your mouth. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, yap, yap. You just nagging. You know, you just, honey, I hear you laughing over there. What you laughing at? What are you laughing at, Pastor? Just nagging.
But I've been with many of men and ladies, please hear my wife, hear myself, a lot of brothers, that's one of their biggest complaints. Anthony, her mouth. Pastor Simmons, her mouth. Mom, dad, it's that mouth of hers. And we got to tame this tongue, ladies. You know, men, we have our own problems. Like I said, we're stubborn and hard-headed, and sometimes we don't think before we act. But ladies, that mouth, you know, sometimes you can talk to your girlfriend for hours, but sometimes, you know, men don't like us to be too wordy. We don't like our women to be too wordy. So sometimes you got to refrain and bring that in. Just give them a neck rub or something. But bring some of them words in and work on loving on him.
Wow, that's good. And how about that? We can laugh and talk with our girlfriends for hours, but then when it comes to that special man in our lives, you know, who's soon to be our husband or our husband, we're militant. We can't crack a smile. Put that beautiful smile on your face, girl. You know, that smile, the radiance, the sunshine comes through your smile. And put that smile on your face and greet him and work on loving him. I agree with you, honey. We have to really, as women, we have to work hard because we don't want to be sisters with attitudes. And I'm not talking about black women. I'm talking about women of God, sisters with attitudes, you know. And we just have to, you know, just really be conscious of the fact that forgiveness is important, which means you receive God's forgiveness for yourself and you forgive yourself. So that your issues now are dealt with. And then you begin to forgive him as he makes mistakes. Now, I'm not calling a mistake an infidelity. I mean, if he goes out and cheats on you, you're going to have to deal with that the way you deal with that. You know, I know some of our people on the line, you know, you guys can raise your hands. You can press one because I know we have people who have forgiven adultery. You know, I haven't had to have that experience. Thank the Lord. I don't plan on having that experience. But sometimes you have to forgive an infidelity. Jesus said he gave divorce. God gave divorce because of the hardness of our hearts. He said, but as we forgive, we could continue to move forward. Now, if it's constant infidelity, then you got a problem right there. I mean, if he goes out and cheats once, okay, I might forgive him, you know. But if he's out there cheating over and over and over and over again, come on. Then he's unrepentant. He's put your life in danger. He's put his life in danger. And, you know, there's stuff out there like HIV and AIDS. You know, so if a man is out there dipping his stick in all the wrong places, then we need to be conscious of the fact that now it's not just love. Love doesn't really have anything to do with this, but I have to be wise and get myself to a safe place, which is out of his bed, even if I'm his wife. If he's adulterous, then there's a problem, you know. So those are things that we have to think about, you know. Again, God can turn anything around, but sometimes he turns things around from a distance. Sometimes separation is in order when you're married, amen, so that he can get a grip on himself and say, you know what, I'm a man of God, I'm married, I shouldn't be out here having adulterous affairs, you know. So these are things in relationships that we have to think about, but forgiveness does not mean that you're a fool. It does not mean that you become a fool for that person. It just means that the little things, the little idiosyncrasies, I can forgive him making a remark that hurt me. I can forgive him coming home late for dinner. I can forgive him not calling me all day. Come on, these are things that we can forgive. I can forgive him for that nasty remark he made. These are things that we easily forgive, and you forgive them right away. Don't hold on to it, but forgive it. Amen. So, listen, Pastor Emily, we don't have any bold people calling us up. Everybody's on the phone lines. We want to talk to you. We only have 20 minutes. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait until the last minute. We want to hear from you. Let your voice be heard. Call in and let your voice be heard. Amen. Pastor Emily, how about this question? I love him. He loves me, but where's the question I have? I want to ask this question. What if you love him and he is not saved? What do we do in that situation?
I'm chuckling because the first thing came to my mind was Tina Turner's song. What's love got to do with it?
Oh, boy.
No,
what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? Ain't it? No, but really, seriously.
I tell you, and after 15 years of marriage, sometimes you don't feel like you're in love. And one of the things, even when you were talking to the single women on the earlier part of the show, while, you know, is he stringing you along, how long should you wait, things of that nature. Some people like us have had kids by previous relationships, and I thank God that our blended family situation worked out. But some people try to marry that man or marry that woman for the kid's sake, you know, and I love him, he loves me, and it would be especially good for our kids if we can make this work. But we got to realize that we sometimes, in the world in which we're living, I'm just trying to be biblical here, we cannot go by our emotions or our feelings sometimes when God gives us directives on how we conduct our lives, even when it comes to relationships. We cannot allow our feelings or our emotions to govern God-given decisions. God will speak to us. That's why sometimes you don't even feel like that's the one or that's the girl or guy for you, but yet God is giving you that unction in your spirit. Move forward with this relationship or move forward knowing that something good is going to come out of this. Yes, you can love someone. Yes, you can hope for the best. Yes, you can hope that they see things your way and that you can get together on one accord. But I've come to the realization at the young age that I am, only God can change people. And if that man is not feeling the way you feel for him, or you think through his words that he's saying, I love you just as much as you love me, but through his actions, like put a ring on it, you don't see it, then we got to say love is more than just emotion. It's an action word. So I just hope, you know, I don't want to get too specific because you can't tell somebody who to love, but you sure can give advice on who they can be with.
Amen. Amen. Because if he's not saved, then you're running into that problem again of being unequally yoked. So if you love him and he's not saved, the first thing I want to know is how did you end up loving him knowing that he wasn't saved? So, you know, sometimes we walk into a situation with our eyes wide open, we fall in love with the wrong guy. He's a nice guy, but he's not saved, but I'm in love with him now. You know, so what am I supposed to do? Well, you're pretty much going to have to love him from a distance and pray for his salvation. You know, pray that God will save him and deliver him and that he will be walking in right relationship with the Lord. But then it's still going to take some time for that salvation to be worked out to the point where it's authentic and not just something that he does with his lips, but it now becomes not lip service but heart service. And you don't want to tell a guy, and we have a caller, we're going to put this call on the air, and you don't want to tell a guy, I can't be with you because you're not saved, and have that guy go to church and become saved, and then you marry him right away, but you don't even know if his salvation was authentic. You're going to have to give it some time now for him to work out his relationship with the Lord before he can even begin to be a husband to you, because you still don't know if he's saved. Amen. He says he's saved, and he did the walk to the altar, but you don't know if he's saved. We have a caller, area code 908. Thank you for calling in. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show. You're on the air.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca. It's Evangelist Cynthia.
Oh, God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson.
God bless you. I had to raise my hand on this one because I deal with a lot of women in my women's group, and a lot of the women at my church, a lot of them are single, and everybody wants to get married. And they come in, and they bring these brothers into the church, and you'll see them together for a few months or 6 months, and then they start going to counseling, and all of a sudden these brothers start to walk away. And I think that a lot of times women get caught up and they pray to God for a husband and not realizing that not only does God hear your prayers, but the devil hear your prayer too. So he'll sing you the guy with the job that you asked for, the guy that has a nice house, the guy that loves children if you have children, the guy that's driving a nice car. But at the same time, he's going to sing you somebody that don't know your God. So you're willing to accept him not knowing your God as long as he'll go to church with me, as long as he'll accept me going to church or being in the church in a lead, some of them are in leadership roles. As long as he don't mind that, that's okay. He'll come to God. I'll sanctify him once we get married. I'll sanctify him into Christ, and not realizing that that should be the number one top priority when you talk about getting married. It's hard enough being married to a Christian. Now you're going to turn around, you're going to marry somebody that don't even know your God. Because it's hard being married to a brother who knows your God. You're going to turn around and you're going to marry Satan's son? You can't do that. And a lot of sisters will accept, okay, he's either a baby Christian and you are you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you preaching the gospel, but you marry a baby Christian because you want to be married. Or you marry a brother that is not a Christian at all because you want to be married. And the devil will send you the nice little prototype.
Yeah.
That representative that he sends you is going to be the one that's going to bring you down.
Yeah.
Because as nice as he may be to your kids, he may turn out to be the molester in your home. But when you met him, he was this nice guy with a nice car and a nice house and loved kids. But he molests your children, or he turns out he winds up beating on you.
Yeah.
And you got to explain to the members in your church why you come to church with all these bruises and stuff all over your body, because you thought he was the man for you. So when asking to get married, I say this all the time, before you ask God to get you married to a man, you better make sure you marry God first, because then you'll be able to distinguish between that guy, that man, and your husband. Because there's a difference between that man and your husband.
My, say that. Amen. And that is the truth, because I love what you said, make sure that you're married to God first. You know, because when you're married to God first, you will have the ability to discern whether that man is your husband. And it goes all the way back to the top of the show where I said, how do you know if he's the one? You will know. You will be able to discern in the spirit realm that is your husband, that he is the one, and that's the one that God wants you to marry. When you're walking with God, he directs your path. You know, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. So that is so true, and it's so powerful. And another thing you said, women are bringing men into the church, and 6 months later, 4 months later, they're in counseling for marriage, premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brother ends up walking away. Why are we finding our own husbands? See, that's another thing.
That's
we
another
go
thing.
Out and we find our husbands and we bring them into God, into the church, and then we're like, this is my husband, I went and got him and I'm going to marry him. But that's not God's way. God says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So what do we do then? You got so many single women in the church. They want to be married. What do you say to those single sisters?
The same thing I say on Friday night. Stop looking to get married. I say this honestly. I think people read way too much into being married. If you marry the first man and learn how to be devoted to God, if it's his will, because a lot of people got to realize certain things are not willed for you. Some women will never be married. You might as well just accept it. It may not happen for you because it's not in God's will for you to be married. I mean, as much as we all would love to be married, it may not be willed that way. If it is, if you marry to God first, trust me, when he sends that man, there's not going to be a debate. You don't have to have this long discussion. You don't have to, oh, my gosh, is this him? You're going to know, and he's going to know. Wow. But some women walk their whole lives. I know a sister, she's a pastor. This woman's been wanting to be married for 50-some years, and I'm going, when is she going to let it go? Let it go. God may not will marriage for you. He's kept you he's kept you for 50-some-odd years. You have never been touched by a man. Stay with God.
You know,
but marriage may not be for you.
You know, I guess probably beg to differ because, you know, I think that God, the thing about God, when he says he will give you the desires of your heart, you know, the thing about that is that we delight ourselves in him. He says he will give us the desires of our heart. And then I always tell people that that means that he will tell us those things for which to desire. God will even begin to show us the things which to desire. And he will, since he does not allow us to desire those things without giving them to us, then I believe that if she has a desire for marriage like that, I believe that God will meet that desire, you know, if she holds on. I mean, she might be older when she does get married, but if she holds on in faith, because then it comes back to faith, you cannot, it's hard to tell somebody who's believing God, if she's believing God, or maybe she's just hoping to be married or desiring to be married. But when it comes to a point of faith where I'm believing God for my husband, then I'm believing God, and I'm not going to put that down. So even though you're looking at and you say, you know what, maybe it's not going to happen, just let it go. Give it up already. This woman is holding on in faith, believing that God has a husband for her, you know, and I say more power to her, you know, more power to her, because another scripture that came to mind, Evangelist Cynthia, was where the Bible, where Paul says, if you burn, then you should marry. You know, when he says, if you have gifts to be celibate, then be celibate. He said, but if you can't be like me, then you're burning, then you should get married. You know, well, then if you're burning, if you have burning with sexual desire, and the Bible says get married, then there got to be a husband out there for you somewhere if you got this burning going on. You know, God will give you the grace to handle the burn, I mean, to put it under subjection, so that he'll take away that burn. But, you know, he got to be some, if I'm burning, you know, got to be somebody out there for me to marry. So, but I'm not going to be running around like a rabbit, you know, ready to jump on the first thing moving. But I know what you're saying. In other words, I do know what you're saying. I just want to put two sides to that particular take.
Yeah, and I don't. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying because I never wanted to be married. I never, since I was young.
Wow.
I never, because I had saw so many bad marriages. My mother and father's marriage was a disaster. Every one of my friends, family members, you know, my cousins, my uncles, aunts, all bad marriages. So for me, marriage was like a bad thing. I thought it was just some place, institution by man to keep women subject. So that's the way I saw marriage for a long time, up until I think till just about before I got married. And when I got married, all my friends was like, you did what? Miss you got married?
Wow.
They did not believe that I got married. Nobody believed it because I was just so against it. So when I look at it, I go, God changed that in me because I got to say, if he would have said, no, I'm happy by myself. Thank you very much. But God changed that in me. The reason I say that for this particular woman, I don't know if from what I see from her, I don't think that it's faith. I think she desires, and her desire is like a consuming thing.
Yeah,
I think she looks at other people who's married, and she desires that. It's a lustful thing for marriage for her.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know if it's. Yeah, and that's why I say for her in particular, I think she needs to let it go as far as that. I'm not saying don't give up on God sending her husband, but the lustfulness in her desiring to be married, that needs to be taken away from her. And that might be why God is going, no, not right now for her.
Not right now. Wow.
I know a woman at my church, she and she's my age, and she's getting remarried. And when another sister heard about it, and she's single, And my pastor said, oh, well, then there'll be somebody for you. She said, I don't want to talk about marriage no more. I'm getting so sick of everybody else around here getting married, and I'm not getting married. I don't understand why God hasn't given me a husband. Well, the attitude right there, that might stop it.
Yeah.
You're a little jealous.
Amen. That's fine. Right. Now, hold on. We have another caller. Amen. This last 6 minutes. Hold on. Hold that thought. Stay with me as we go out on the air today. Area code 609, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca.
Praise the Lord.
I just want to say congratulations to you and Pastor Anthony, and to say keep on preaching and keep on teaching.
God bless you. Prophetess Priscilla?
Yes.
God bless you. Good to hear from you, woman of God, and thank you so much. We're going to do that. I tell you, we're definitely going to do that. Amen. Good to hear from you.
Okay. God bless.
God bless you. That's all you had to say today?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to your whole show, and there's nothing else for me to say except keep on preaching and keep on teaching, because when you preach and speak the word of God like you and Pastor Anthony did, there's no debate. I mean, there's really no debate. And then, you know, with the history of the short time that I know you and Pastor Anthony, for being real and transparent and your walk, I mean, there's nothing I can say except praise God for that. I can't really comment that much as it relates to marriage because I'm not married, but you explained it all by using the words of God, by saying, you know, if it's the lady's desire of the heart, even if she's 100, like Sarah with the baby, if it's her desire, you know, she just got to wait on the Lord. That's what the Bible tells you to do, wait on the Lord. And we don't want to wait. We, you know, we want all the goodness, but we want the part about Jesus that's good, but we don't want the struggle, all of us as Christians. So I have listened to your show, and Pastor Anthony, you know, said it so eloquently, like I shut the TV off. I told God, well, I don't need the TV. You'll tell me, you know, for 40 days I just did this, and today he sent me to your show. You know, I said, you know, I don't need reality show. I need real. You know, I don't need anything that's not outside the word of God. And I was a little hesitant at first because of your topic, because I am, like the young lady said, I'm not in need of a husband, but that's because I have that gift at 50, you know, where I can now be celibate. I have my testimonies of knowing the wrong things to do. So you and Pastor Anthony kept it in the word of God, kept it in the scriptures. And so that's what we're lacking in the world. That's how we go wrong, because we start dating, and when, like she said, we want to bring him to church, but you started off wrong because you wasn't supposed to bring him to church. He was supposed to bring you to church. So I just blessed him. Yeah, I mean, and I did it. I mean, I thank God, and it's easy when you get to be an elder at 50. I didn't even want to date saved guys when I was younger. That wasn't scripture. So once we get to follow the word of God, we'll be okay, because you want a husband, okay, but are you willing to wait? Because he might not have a husband for you till you're 100. That doesn't mean you don't have a husband. It just means it's not your season for a husband. So I want to say today, bless the Lord for you and Pastor Anthony in your preaching, and most importantly, of your teaching.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, my sister. Be sure
God
to
bless.
Appreciate
okay.
you. Amen.
Okay, God
bless you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, when it comes to relationships, it can get tricky. One thing you were saying, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, as we go off the air in this last couple of minutes, you talked about the lust and the coveting, you know, where it became all-consuming. And Paul talks about this, where Paul says, I know how to be abound, and I know how to abase. I've been with a lot, and I've been with a little. But he said, I have learned to be content in all things. He said, in all things I've learned to be content. He says, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what we have to do. Get back to God. Get back to the point that God does not want us in a state of anxiety. He says, be anxious for nothing, a state of anxiety or coveting or jealousy or lust. But he wants us to be content in him and loving on him, so that now we have the power to sustain. We have the power to wait, and we have the power to continue to believe God for the promises that he has given us for our individual lives. So it's just so powerful. We're going to keep talking about relationships. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, thank you so much for calling in to the show today.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to go off the air. Pastor Emily, he's no longer here either, but we only have a minute. I just want to invite you all to come and be with me on Tuesday night for the Destined for Victory broadcast, and also to come and worship with us at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. And then I'll be here next Saturday with a special guest. We have some announcements that were made at the top of the hour. On next Saturday, I'll be doing a recording for a live TV show, amen, The Rope of Hope with Lady Diana Flagg, and that's at Power Praise and Worship Ministries over in Linden, New Jersey at 1420 South Wood Avenue. The audience has to be there by 9 o'clock a.m., and also other announcements were made at the top of the show. Listen, whatever you're believing God for, just go ahead and believe God. Amen. You know what God has spoken to you, and believe God. And like I said before, if God could bring a baby out of Sarah's womb, and she was 90 years old, Abraham was 100, he certainly can bring a husband to you. So if you're one of those women who are believing God for a husband, you keep on believing God. I got my husband, and I believe that God, if he gave me a husband and you have a desire for a husband, I believe that God can give you a husband. But do not let it consume you. Just love on the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. So go in peace and serve the Lord, knowing that God loves you, and so do I. And this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons signing out on the Woman to Woman Show. Remember that God wants it all.
That the voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. Give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.